Good morning, everyone. Time for that part of the worship service where we get to have a message from the Word of God. Over the last lesson, we studied the importance of encouraging and edifying one another. And today, we have those next four E's, of the four E's that we brought forth, to exhort and to exemplify. So I think it wise to do a very quick review and look at what encourage means as it is defined. To inspire with courage, spirit, or hope. To hearten. He and she were encouraged to continue by their brothers and sisters in Christ, for example. Also, to attempt to persuade or to urge on. They were encouraged to grow in Jesus. That would be good for all of us, right? To spur on, to stimulate, to foster. For example, love and fellowship encourages, or you could say fosters, growth and stability. Edify, defined, to instruct and improve, especially in moral and religious knowledge, to uplift, enlighten, inform, build, or establish. The Greek word oikodomeo is very similar to the Greek word for house, oikos, and oikodomeo means to build a house. So it's translated 29 times as build, builders, building, or built, 34 times as edifies, edified, edifies, edify, translated 4 times as rebuild, and once as strengthened. So, you know, in some cases, the person is already a house, so to speak, the house of the living God, you know. I mean, we're all part of the household of the living God if we're in Christ. Sometimes you need to call the remodeling contractor and, you know, patch a few holes here and there and check and see if the foundation boards are rotted and, you know, where the wood meets the concrete, etc. So you have to do some rebuilding and strengthening sometimes too. Exhort, defined, to incite by argument or advice, urge strongly, to give warnings or advice, make urgent appeals. Greek word parakaleo. Help me on that if you know how to say it. Definition, to call to or for, to exhort or to encourage. So translated by context into the forms of these words, comfort, encourage, exhort, appeal, beg, implore, or plead. So you have two words in these scriptures that can be translated as exhort or edify. Exemplify, an example. And today our lesson is on exhort and exemplify. So exemplify, be an instance of, example of, embody, or be typical of. And so the Greek word is hupodiegma, a figure, a copy, an example. But sometimes when you see exemplify or be an example or the example, you'll find also the word tupos, which we normally translate as something that is a pattern. Something to trace around, something an example of, or a form, or an image, or an imprint, a model, a pattern, a type. Another word that is translated, example, be an example, as an example, hupogrammos, from root words to trace in outline, to sketch out, a writing to be copied, an example. So something to take note of, something to do yourself. So back to exhort. Here Paul sternly appeals that they correct a serious division issue that they were having in Corinth. Sometimes you'll find in the body of Christ trouble, you know. People have their disagreements. Maybe they even agree to disagree, or maybe it's hotter than that. And, you know, in Corinth was still referred to as God's church, but yet had many problems. And so we should expect that even in our own congregation, we may have some problems, but we're still God's church. We still belong to Christ as long as we don't leave Him for something else. And we must try to correct our problems. And sometimes exhorting is about correcting problems. In 1 Corinthians 1:10 through 13, "Now I exhort you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all agree and that there be no divisions among you, but that you be made complete in the same mind and in the same judgment." You know, this idea of being made complete really means to be become like Christ. As we studied previously in the Ephesians chapter 4 passage, how we all grow up into the likeness of Jesus, to become more like Him in our thoughts, words, and deeds, you know. He says, "For I have been informed concerning you, my brethren, by Chloe's people, that there are quarrels among you. Now I mean this, that each one of you is saying, 'I am of Paul, and I of Apollos, and I of Cephas, and I of Christ.' Has Christ been divided? Paul was not crucified for you, was he? Or were you baptized in the name of Paul?" So this is a very serious issue, and the idea of exhort is seen in Paul's writing to the Corinthians, not only here, but also in other places. The people in Thessalonica, or they call it Thessaloniki, the Greek people I know, examples of exhortation, here the appeal is A, for the lazy to get to work, and B, for the rest to not grow weary of doing good. And so again, it's an exhortation to get after it, and for those who were after it to not grow weary of getting after it. "For even when we were with you, we used to give you this order: if anyone is not willing to work, then he is not to eat either." That would solve our prison problem in America today. I mean, that's, you know, I used to do prison ministry, and, you know, you see they get a lot of perks in there. Well, how about just taking away something like food if they don't do what they're supposed to do, you know? You behave, don't fight, try to learn something, try to leave here better than you were when you came in, and we'll feed you. Otherwise, you know, never mind. "If anyone is not willing to work, then he is not to eat either. For we hear that some among you are leading an undisciplined life, doing no work at all, but acting like busybodies. Now such persons we command and exhort in the Lord Jesus Christ to work in quiet fashion and eat their own bread. But as for you, brethren, do not grow weary of doing good." So a dual exhortation. One, get with it. If you're not with it, stay with it if you are. Instructions to an evangelist to exhort. An evangelist should do this. 2 Timothy 4:1 through 5. "I solemnly charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and his kingdom, preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with great patience and instruction. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but wanting to have their ears tickled, they will accumulate for themselves teachers in accordance to their own desires, and will turn away their ears from the truth, and will turn aside to mythology. But you be sober in all things, endure hardship, do the work of an evangelist, fulfill your ministry." Yes, I substituted a word I'm not able to pronounce. M-Y-T-H-S. Myths. The evangelist Titus was to appoint elders who could and would exhort and refute as needed. So not only was the evangelist told to do these things, but to find men who were qualified and willing to also do these things for the health and sanity of the church. Titus 1, 5 through 9, "For this reason I left you in Crete, that you would set in order what remains and appoint elders in every city as I directed you. Namely, if any man is above reproach, the husband of one wife, having children who believe, not accused of dissipation or rebellion. For the overseer must be above reproach as God's steward, not self-willed, not quick-tempered, not addicted to wine, not pugnacious, not fond of sordid gain, but hospitable, loving what is good, sensible, just, devout, self-controlled, holding fast the faithful word, which is in accordance with the teaching, so that he will be able both to exhort in sound doctrine and to refute those who contradict." So, of course, an elder of the church would be one who would need to exemplify. He would be a mature man, a spiritual man, a righteous man, and a man able and willing to do these things that Titus, as an evangelist, is instructed to find in these men who he would appoint as elders. But every man and every woman in the congregation ought to try to live to a standard like Christ. Not just the preacher, not just the elders, not just the deacons, not just the men of the men's meeting, but everyone from children up ought to strive to live godly lives. And that's an exhortation to all of us. The writer of the letter we call Hebrews wrote to encourage, edify, and exhort the readers. And as we saw in our recent study of Hebrews, did a very good job of it, amen? Wouldn't you give an amen to the writer of the book of Hebrews on that? Yeah, it was great. And so great that we still learn from it almost 2,000 years later. We all should be willing to receive the exhortations that others rightly give us, along with the encouragement and the edifications. You know, if we're willing to receive encouragement, we ought to also be willing to receive correction when it's necessary and due. So here the Hebrew writer writes what seemed like took us a long time to read, but I know it was maybe quicker for them because they were more familiar with some of those things from their past and maybe understood them better than we do. But he says, I urge you, brethren, bear with this word of exhortation, for I have written to you briefly. So in other words, there would be a lot more that he would have to say if he thought they would listen, maybe, you know. And so, too bad there wasn't Hebrews 2 and 3 and 4 and 5 for us to look at. And then we come to the last point in today's lesson, the word exemplify. Be an instance of, example of, embody, be typical of. He and she exemplify Jesus. They are good examples for Christians to follow. And again, I'll break these into their different parts as we go on, so I'm going to kind of skip through this. But John 13, 15, hupo diegma. 1 Thessalonians 1, 7, tupos. 1 Peter 2, 21, hupo grammos. You'll see what that means as we go on. John 13, 15, Jesus says, I gave you an example. John 13, 12 through 15, so when he had washed their feet. Now here's an example that Jesus says, this is an example. So when he had washed their feet and taken his garments and reclined at the table again, he said to them, do you know what I have done to you? You call me teacher and Lord, and you are right, for so I am. If I then, the Lord and the teacher, washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I gave you an example that you also should do as I did to you. You know, as I was listening to Jorge's lesson this morning, and he was talking about Daniel and Shadrach and Meshach and Abednego and Joseph in Egypt, and I was thinking of the power that God put in the hands of Joseph and Daniel. And I think we all, if we think about it, realize those would have to be humble men. Man, if they weren't humble men, what would they have done in that position? They'd have gone crazy, wouldn't they? They'd be executing all those guys they didn't like. All kinds of bad stuff would happen if they weren't humble men. They'd be taking the glory for themselves and not giving it to God. But Jesus stooped down and washed their feet to show them what he wants us to be. He was an example. He did, in fact, exemplify. The Thessalonians serve as a dual example. They both followed and set a good example. When Paul and Timothy and Silas and the others came and preached to them and they learned the gospel and they obeyed the gospel, they followed the example of those who preached to them. And not only that, but they set the example of telling other people about Jesus and helping them to become Christians too. Paul and Silvanus and Timothy to the church of the Thessalonians, in God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, grace to you and peace. We give thanks to God always for all of you, making mention of you in our prayers, constantly bearing in mind your work of faith and labor of love and steadfastness of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ in the presence of our God and Father, knowing, brethren, beloved by God, his choice of you. And we see, for our gospel did not come. Here's exemplify again, the word tupos. Our gospel did not come to you in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Spirit and with full conviction, just as you know what kind of men we proved to be among you for your sake. You also became imitators of us, and the Lord, having received the word in much tribulation, with the joy of the Holy Spirit, so that you became an example to all the believers in Macedonia, and in Achaia. So they became a pattern, something for others to trace their life around. Say, man, I need to be like that. Not only did they follow, but they became examples. These Christians from history still exemplify for us today. They received the gospel, they were sharing the gospel, and they were looking forward to the what? Is it the DOG or the DOJ? When I was a little kid, I did that all. I'd say G when I meant J and J when I meant G, and I'd write my name backwards, but I don't have any excuse now at my age, you know. DOJ, so I kept messing that up before, didn't I? DOJ, Day of Judgment, not Department of Justice, but it is, isn't it? I mean, it's like the big Department of Justice. 1 Thessalonians 1:8 through 10, for the word of the Lord has sounded forth from you, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place your faith toward God has gone forth, so that we have no need to say anything. For they themselves report about us what kind of a reception we had with you, and how you turned to God from idols to serve a living and true God. Amen? Isn't that beautiful? Well, what kind of idols do we need to turn from in order to become Christians today? There's a lot of obstacles and debris in our way, isn't there? And as we continue as Christians, there's still those obstacles and debris being tossed in our pathway. And old Satan, he's just looking for an opportunity to devour us, you know. God transferred us from the domain of darkness into the kingdom of His beloved Son, Colossians 1, 13 through 17, somewhere in there. And the devil really, really didn't like that, and he wants us back. For they themselves report about us what kind of a reception we had with you, and how you turned to God from idols to serve a living and true God, and to wait for His Son from heaven, whom He raised from the dead, that is Jesus, who rescues us from the wrath to come. Wrath is coming. It's called the DOJ, right? Day of Judgment. And we need to be ready for that, because it won't be wrath for us if we're in Jesus. We can look forward to His return, and there's a crown of righteousness laid up for everyone who looks forward to His return in Christ. Encourage, edify, exhort, exemplify. Those are just four E words that we have as Christians that we need to do for one another. And we not only need to do for one another, but we need to be willing to receive from one another. It's hard to encourage a person who will not be encouraged, you know. We have to open ourselves up with a strong desire to become like Jesus, that the apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers were given for the equipping of the saints to the works of service, to the building up of the body of Christ, until we all attain to the fullness of Christ, Ephesians 4. We have to participate in that. There's no room for being passive Christians, you know. We need to be participants in this process. Spiritual growth follows a spiritual rebirth. Over the past few weeks, we have seen the little stairway, how we go from realizing that we need to know who God is, and then searching for Him and finding the gospel, being willing to take heed of, believe, obey the gospel, you know, being willing to repent of our sins and admit that there's no other Savior but Jesus, and that He is the Son of God, and be plunged, submerged under the water, immersed in the water, dead in our sins, so that we can rise from the water to live a new life in Him. And then we walk that new life. And all of these E's that I've mentioned today are part of walking that new life: encouraging, edifying, exhorting, and exemplifying for Jesus to one another. There are over 60 passages in the New Testament that talk about what we should do for one another. Don't be like Cain, who said, "Am I my brother's keeper?" That's the voice of a murderer, you know. We need to look after each other. We need to encourage, edify, exhort, and exemplify. And that comes after we're born again. If there's anybody here this morning that isn't born again, you can be born again. And if there's anybody here who refuses to accept encouragement, edification, exhortation, and follow a good example, you need to change. And that's called repent. If there's anyone here who refuses to encourage, edify, exhort, or exemplify for other Christians, you also need to repent. So whether it's doing better in these areas or doing this to get into the body of Christ, being buried under that water to be transferred from the domain of darkness, moved into the kingdom of His beloved Son, where you find every spiritual blessing and a job to do, we offer you an opportunity to let us know how we can help you this morning as we stand and as we sing.